Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Wednesday, join us for a personal tour of How Homeopathy Helps to Grow Great Gardens, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath, Debbie Brock, and international expert agro-homeopath, Kavi Raj. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts and questions. Let's go!
Hi, this is Debbie Brock, founder of Homeopathy World Community. I will be speaking with co-host Kavi Raj in just a few minutes. Today is October 20th, 2010, and you're listening to show number one of How Homeopathy Helps Grow Great Gardens. I see that today is a really busy, busy day with many people who are on the live chat on Homeopathy World Community. And Kavi, everyone knows him by his first name, his nickname, and we all adore him and the knowledge that he has to contribute to the science and medicinal healing mode of homeopathy. He's going to help us in our garden. And I'm going to give you a little bit more of an introduction, Kavi, because I I'm so pleased that we're starting this show together. I would like everyone to know how passionate you are. There is a little quote by Friedrich Hebbel that says, "Nothing great in the world has ever been accomplished without passion." And whenever I think of a really passionate individual, you're the first person who comes into my mind. And also, for those who are brand new to homeopathy, because we're stretching out and reaching out our hand to those people who have never done homeopathy before, especially not in the garden. Ooh, we're getting a reverberation here. I don't know why.
Are you getting a reverberation?
Oh, it's because you are on the telephone, and I'm hearing it. I'm wondering how we can solve that problem. But let me see. So what I wanted to say was homeopathy is a therapeutic process which restores an individual to a state of health by selecting and dispensing a homeopathic remedy using the law of similars, which is likes cures likes. And let's see. And I'm hoping that you're able to hear me through the telephone. Kavi, can you hear me through the telephone? Let's see. I'm trying to work out a little bit of the bugs on the technical aspect of today's show.
Is it better now? Because I've turned off the speakers.
Okay, so now let's see if it's improved. Okay, that's better. Okay, great. Okay, we're on our way. So it will improve each time as we get started here. So we're just introducing a little bit about what is homeopathy to the listeners. And I wanted to introduce a little bit more about you. It's still reverberating in my feedback. Okay, so we're going to see if we can fix that problem. Kavi is a homeopath with over 30 years experience. And he is the author of homeopathy for farm and garden, which is now printed in seven languages and seven more translations to come. Kaviraj has also experimented on plants from the years 1986 to 1998 to produce this one-of-a-kind homeopathic method book that outlines the treatment of plants and soils using homeopathic remedies as alternatives to agricultural poisons. Many of the findings in his book have been verified by universities in Brazil, Switzerland, Italy, and Germany. In Brazilian universities, it is the basic textbook for teaching the subject. Okay, I think what Kavi needs is a headset. So if he's able to hear, let's see, so we're going to keep going with this, and I hope we don't lose any listeners. It's a basic textbook for teaching this subject on agrohomeopathy. And we're going to be really needing this information in the contemporary years as we want to reduce the use of pesticides and insecticides and any other agents that may cause toxins or contribute to the toxicity of our soils and our plants, the things that we eat. Because homeopathy has a basic fundamental principle at the outset, and that is it's a physician's high and only mission to restore the sick to health, to cure, as it is termed. That is Dr. Samuel Hahnemann's first aphorism. And this means that we want to have living clean in our environment, to our pets, to our plants, to our soil, to the earth. And as we heal the earth, we will heal ourselves. And now, Kavi, I'd like you to introduce the topic for today's talk.
All right. Well, as I wrote in the blog on the group, I will speak about the use of homeopathic remedies for the garden in a practical way. And in this show, we will have two segments, Northern and Southern Hemisphere, because you see, although here in the Northern Hemisphere, winter is coming, in the South, the spring is coming. Yeah. So I would like to talk about how to prepare the garden for the winter, how to use the remedies to keep fungi under control and speed up composting. Yeah. And how you can protect your plants against frost and snow. Yeah, there are traditional means, and we can also use remedies. Yeah, and we shall have a little talk about the soil as a medium in which you grow plants and make your garden very beautiful, because different places have different kinds of soils. Some soils are acidic, some soils are alkaline, and they have different problems. Yeah. So we shall also speak about pruning and clipping and the remedies that you can use to avoid complications. And we shall demonstrate how each type of soil has its own nutrient problems and how to solve them with the use of homeopathy. Yeah, so...
Okay, I'm looking forward to learning.
So have you got any questions, Debbie, that you first want to ask?
I'm interested in learning what we need to do to prepare our soil and our earth for the season. Because as you said, in where I'm living in the United States, in the Northeast or the Southeast, we are turning into cooler weather and the deciduous plants are going to be losing their leaves pretty soon. We're going to be going into a beautiful, beautiful fall season when everyone goes into the mountains to see the leaves change colors, and I feel like it's the time, and the days are shorter. It's the time when we're going into hibernation, when things are slowing down, and how do we prepare our garden for this season? And also, some people are actually going to be doing some planting of perhaps root vegetables. Then maybe I'll ask later what happens in the Southern Hemisphere. Okay.
Okay.
That will be fine. Sorry, I have a bit of a rough throat. Well, if you go into your garden and as the weather gets colder, and then many plants have disappeared, like many of the annuals are no longer there. Some of the biennials are still there, and of course you have your perennial plants that are sitting in your garden. Now is the time to prepare the soil with compost. Yeah, the compost should be nice and old. Yeah, or if you don't have any compost and you want to use dung, the dung also should be old. Yeah, and this is put on top of the soil. Don't mix it in, because the worms, they will do all the work for you. Yeah. Homeopathy for the garden is also not using any tools to dig things in, because the worms will do it all for you. If you put a nice layer of dung or compost on top of your soil, then in 5 to 6 weeks, it will all have disappeared. It will all have been brought underneath, and it will keep the soil warm. It will the moisture content, and it will stop it from drying out. Yeah. And acid soils can be neutralized by using compost. Now, the compost that you use for acid soils has to be more alkaline or neutral, like cow dung or regular compost, worm castings. They are neutral in acidity. Yeah. Whereas alkaline soils, you use pig and chicken manure because they are acidic. Yeah. So on an acid soil, you should not use pig or chicken manure, because it will make the soil only more acidic. So to the neutral pH, as they call it, yeah, is actually the best to grow things.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really good to know. So we need to balance out the soil.
Indeed.
By what we're amending, we're basically amending the soil by adding specific types of compost.
Yes, indeed. Because as I said, on an alkaline soil, plants have difficulties growing because certain nutrients will not be available. Yeah. And by putting an acidic dung or an acidic compost on there, then you neutralize the pH, and then after that, all the nutrients that are necessary will be available to the plants in spring.
Can we use store-bought compost, and where do we get worms?
The worms, if you have a compost heap in your garden, the worms are already in there. If you buy it in the store, then it may be a good idea to buy like a kilo of worms from a worm farm, and you just spread them out over the soil. Then you add the compost, and the worms will go to work. They love it.
The worms won't run away.
No, the worms don't run away. If you keep feeding them compost, worms will never run away. Worms only go away if the soil is very poor. Like in most modern agriculture, they don't put any organic matter in the soil, and so there are no worms. And so the soil gets compacted and waterlogged, yeah. And then when you plant your seeds in the spring, the plants fall over because the water cannot run away, because it is not permeable. Yeah, worms keep the soil nice and open. It brings in air and light into the soil. Yeah, That may be a strange idea for some people, that you can bring light into the soil, but the worms do that for you, because they make all these little tunnels and drag all the organic matter into the soil, where it gets further processed by fungi, bacteria, and viruses, because actually that is the task of these entities. You know, they process compost and organic matter, and if there is no organic matter, then you will always have problems with diseases. These fungi and bacteria also have to survive, so then they will attack the living plants. What were you going to
really
say?
This is really fascinating. Yes, Kavi, because most people don't consider virus, bacteria, and fungi as a good component of we usually want to get rid of those things in our life, and yet here we're making a place for it to live.
Yeah, you know.
And
normally,
what types of things can we put into our compost heap?
You can put kitchen scraps. You can put all the things that you cut off from your vegetables. If you eat meat and you have bones, you can put the bones in there. Because that is very good, actually. If you eat fish, you can put the fish heads and the cartilage from the fish in there. The skin can go in there. Yeah, anything that you take out of your garden, like leaves, dead plants, they can all go into the compost. Anything that is organic and is compostable, can be turned into compost, you can put on that heap.
That's great. I always like to recycle.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you can have so many things in there. And of course, if you put if you eat lots of fish and you put that in the compost, then the cats of the neighborhood might come and start digging it up. Yeah. To prevent that is that you make a hole in the compost heap, and then you stick your meat and your fish in there, and then you cover it over again, and the smell of these leftovers will then not attract any dogs or cats.
That is a great idea. Because I was thinking that animals and even raccoons and things might come hunting into your compost.
Well, sometimes they do, but you know, if you turn over your compost on a regular basis, then usually they have no interest. Yeah, they only have interest.
Okay, so Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, they only have interest if you leave things lying on the top. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do these things, you know. We dig them a little bit in, so then you don't have that kind of problem.
So in terms of the two types of gardens for the winter, for the northern hemisphere and also for the southern hemisphere, which is going to be going into spring season, doing this compost preparation in the garden is probably beneficial to both areas of the earth. And I'm wondering, perhaps there's some differences. One of the things I know in the northern hemisphere, we need to be trimming out old growth and cleaning it up to prevent disease. And let's talk a little bit about the southern hemisphere and what they would be doing at this time, this season.
In the southern hemisphere, they should have actually done last winter their composting in the garden. If not, then they can do it now. And they should prepare the beds for seeds and seedlings, yeah, and make sure that they cannot get attacked by these fungal and bacterial diseases. And that can only happen if there is sufficient organic matter. Now, the nice thing with organic matter is if you put it in the winter, then the fungi and bacteria, they usually increase in the beginning. If you never put anything there, if you have always worked with artificial fertilizer and you put organic matter there, then first you get an explosion of fungi and bacteria. Yeah, and of course the chemical school of agriculture says, this organic stuff is no good because it brings more diseases. But if you do that and you don't grow anything first, then they first explode in populations, and then they begin to work on that compost. And after a while, when there is when all that stuff has been done, they will diminish to a normal amount, and then in the spring you will not get any diseases. So if you do this in the southern hemisphere and you have never used it before, then you can use remedies to keep those fungi and bacteria under control. And one of the main remedies for that kind of thing is silica. Because silica, as we know from human homeopathy, is an antifungal. Yeah, so
okay,
then
I'm excited to learn about this.
There are two types of fungi. There are fungi that actually decompose things, and there are fungi that live in symbiosis with the plants. Yeah, they process the nutrients so that the plant can take up the nutrients. If you pull up a plant from the soil, you will see that there is all these hyphae from the fungi. They are sticking to the roots. They are the ones that feed the roots. So with them, you have no problem. It is the other fungi that decompose everything that will give problems for the gardener. And those fungi can be kept under control with silica. If you spray your beds with silica before you plant, then you can put it there. Yeah, then you can plant and put your seeds and your seedlings in there. And if you don't do that, then you run a risk of getting fungal diseases. And if you want to stop weeds from coming up, then it is a good idea, 48 hours before you seed or plant anything, you spray it with a dose of Juglans regia. And this will be taken up by all the seeds that are under the soil, yeah, and from which the weeds will grow. And Juglans regia, or Juglans nigra, is a seed inhibitor. So the seeds will not even come up. And for the next 5 months, you will have no worries about weeding in your garden. Yeah, so it saves you a lot of work. Just spray your garden with Juglans regia or Juglans nigra, and then you have no problem with the weeds.
Okay, I have two questions. But you've touched upon both of them. First, you said that there are these two types of fungi or fungi. Can be pronounced either way, I believe. One is the type that decomposes things, and the other type of fungi lives in symbiosis in a beneficial relationship between the plants and the fungi, and they're very helpful in our garden. And you said that if we pull up the plants, we're going to be able to observe what's going on in that relationship between the living organisms, the micro-living organisms, such as the fungi and the plant, and how it utilizes the earth and creates nutrients and beneficial relationships. And the other type is going to be decomposing. Now, what I'm curious is, what does it look like? What is the gardener going to observe? Because I know that when I do a compost garden, it could look like a lot of white, a lot of maybe mushy stuff, or I want to know what I'm going to be seeing and how I can differentiate the beneficial fungi from those that are not going to be helpful. And even I could see some mushroom type of fungi growing in abundance. Now, the other thing would be, the second question besides observation and how we differentiate, is to get more explicit instructions on the preparation of the homeopathic remedy silica and also the spelling of the other type of remedy that you mentioned for inhibiting the growth of fungi. So those are the two main questions that I have.
Okay. Now, the difference between the two fungi can be easily determined. If you stick your spade into the ground and you lift it up, you will see all these gray and white threads that are going throughout the whole soil. Yeah, these are the decomposers. But if you pull up a plant, you will see that the same gray and white threads are very close to the roots of the plant. Yeah, many times they stick to it. And those are the beneficial fungi that feed the plants. Yeah, so they are restricted to being closely around the roots of any plant that you pull up, while the other ones are going everywhere. So that mm-hmm. is how you can tell the difference. And of course, the mushrooms that are growing are also decomposers. They can only grow if there is sufficient organic matter. Yeah. Because they feed on that as well. They are decomposers. And they live for a little while, then they drop their spores and new ones are growing up, and usually they come when there is sufficient moisture in the soil. In a dry soil, you will never find any mushrooms. Yeah, you will only find that when there is sufficient moisture.
Is it good to have mushrooms?
Yeah, why not? They are good decomposers, okay. So they will help you, and they look beautiful too. Yeah, many of them look very, very beautiful. Yeah, so
okay,
that is not
about
a problem.
There's about 3 minutes left, so I'd really like to know how to prepare the silica if someone has never done it before, and what potency.
Yes. Any remedy you can buy, either in a 6X or a 6C potency from the homeopathic pharmacy, of that, you should get the liquid potencies. If you get the liquid, then you put 20 drops in a bottle of water, which you fill for 3/4, usually one of these PET bottles of 1.5 liters, like a Coca-Cola bottle, is very good for that. You fill in till a liter, and then you give it 50 succussions. That is, you bang it 50 times with the bottom on a book, and you bang it really hard so that everything gets nicely mixed. And then you take that liter and you put it in your watering can, and then you fill up the watering can by opening the tap completely, yeah, so that a strong stream of water goes in there and everything gets nicely mixed. After that, you can water your beds or your place where you grow your things, whether you use beds or not, is up to the gardener. Yeah, and in this way you can control the fungi. And for the weeds, you want to know the spelling of Juglans regia or Juglans nigra. Yeah, so Juglans is U G L A N S N I G R A. Juglans nigra.
Okay. Well, our time is up for today. It's been a real pleasure and very, very educational for the newcomers and even for those who are familiar with homeopathy but haven't used it in their garden. And I'm looking forward to the next session when I learn a little bit more about how to apply the remedies directly through the watering can or through the spray method. I want to thank you so much, Kavi, for being with us. And we'll see you next Wednesday.
Okay. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And until the next week.
Thank you for listening to How Homeopathy Helps Grow Great Gardens with co-hosts Kaviraj Vaikuthanath and Debbie Bruck. on Homeopathy World Community Radio. Remember to get some sunshine and light up your life in your garden.